Well, welcome to our service this morning. It's my privilege to introduce Pastor Paul Reason to you. This is Paul's very first official preaching service with us, and in that role now as Youth and Outreach Minister of our church. And Paul, we are very glad to have you. No more glad to have you than I can assure you. And also congratulations again officially for the arrival of your son Declan and to Laura.
You.
Congratulations to you both. And be assured, Paul, of our prayer and our support of you and your family over this time. So, you know, Paul, what I was doing, I had a particular piece of scripture in mind for you this morning, but I kept being directed back to Timothy. Now, the book of Timothy really is about, it's a guidelines for a pastor in their ministry, how to conduct themselves and things like that. So I thought if I could, Paul, if I could read it to you, and these are just words of encouragement. But it's from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11 onwards. So I'll just read it to you, Paul. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. But be an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of the scripture and preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift which has been given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so, Paul, they are good words for you this morning. As I said, we're very happy to have you with us. God bless you in the ministry of this church and to all our people, and we look forward to having them all back. Mm-hmm. So, Paul, I'm going to hand over to you now rather than me preach. You're going to preach.
Yes.
God bless you this morning and welcome.
Thank you very much. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. This morning, it's a wonderful privilege to be with you. I'm going to be preaching from Jeremiah 29 from the NIV. So if you do have your Bible or your Bible app or whatever handy, now would be a good time while you're at home to look that up, because I'm going to pray before we start, and then we'll get into Jeremiah chapter 29. So please, would you join me in prayer? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way it speaks to us today. In our various circumstances. And Lord, we pray that something from today will echo with our own experiences of life, that we might be able to cling to your word through all circumstances. And Father God, we just give you praise and thanks for technology that enables us to still be sharing and gathering even in these lockdown times. We ask for your words to come through loud and clear this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope you found it through that time. I'm going to be preaching from Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning there are, this passage is incredible. It's an incredibly famous piece of scripture. It also happens to have verse 11 in it, which is a favorite verse of a number of people out there. Isn't actually my favorite. Oddly enough, it's not my favorite part of this particular passage. I love this passage and this letter as a whole. And when reflecting and praying about how what we should be sharing this morning, this passage came to me repeatedly as one that I wanted to share from, as a way of letting you know, so you get to know me a bit more about what one of my favorite parts of scripture is, but also because it has so many comforting things in it and so many wonderful truths about God that we can, that were not only relevant back then, but are relevant to us today and are relevant particularly in the circumstances we find ourselves in with COVID-19. So today there are five comforting truths to extract from this particular passage, which we'll explore as we move through it. Those five comforting truths are, number one, God is in control. Number two, I'm calling the Wonka factor, which we'll get to. Number three, we're all in this together. Number four, this too shall pass. And number five, hope and a future. The first comforting truth that can come out of this passage is that God is in control. That has been true for all time because God is sovereign and he has always been in control. Those of the Israelite community that were carried away to exile in Babylon may have thought that God had abandoned them, that he had turned their face on them or that he was no longer with them. But this passage makes it abundantly clear through the many times that God uses the word I, that he is 100% in control of the situation. He's got it covered, as it were. It says in verse 4 that he is the one who carried them into exile, and it's repeated in verse 7. In verse 10, he says, I will come to you after the time is complete. And in verse 14, I will gather you. From the start of the exile to the restoration of the people of Israel back to Jerusalem, God was in control. He knew what he was doing. And that may or may not have come to his people as comfort to his people at the time, but it should have. And it should certainly come as a comfort to us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. We can rely on the sovereignty of God. We know from the rest of Scripture that God is a good God that wants to give good things to his children. And we know that he is a sovereign God with great power to enact in this world. Now, there's probably a whole bunch of questions that might be brewing up, and there's a whole sermon in and of itself just on the idea of, well, why has God caused the exile to happen? And we know in that particular instance it was God's judgment, but people might be thinking today, well, why do good things happen to bad people? Why is there suffering in the world if God is so good and God is so powerful? And they are fantastic questions, and they are questions that biblical scholars, philosophers, and your average pastor has been grappling with and having conversations with for a very long time. And this side of eternity, I don't think we'll ever actually have a full and concise answer to those questions. But they are still important questions to ask all the same. But what we must always take comfort in at the end of the day is knowing that God is in control. God has his hand on this. God might not act in the way that we want him to act sometimes, for we know that God has the power to essentially snap his fingers or speak and this pandemic would disappear. But for whatever his reason might be, he is choosing not to do that at this particular point in time. But that does not give us license to not trust in his control, because we know that God is sovereign and that God, as he has done in so many times before, he will come back and he will restore and he will heal and he will bring renewal, because that is what our God is all about. He is in control and we never need to doubt that. And we should take comfort in that today, even in this pandemic. The second comforting truth from this passage is what I'm calling the Wonka factor. I don't know how many of you at home have seen the Gene Wilder movie. The advantage is that you're at home now as soon as the sermon is done, not before. After the benediction, you can get on Netflix or a DVD and you can watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or better yet, read the book by Roald Dahl. But there's this fantastic line in it that says, you know, we have so much time and so little to do. Wait, strike that, reverse it. Now, we live in a society that's very much the strike that, reverse it type of people. We love to have way more things to do than we actually have time for. And quite frankly, that's not what God has ever been about. God is never going to be impressed by your busyness. It's not going to be able to, when you say to God, oh gosh, I'm just so busy right now, God isn't going, oh, aren't you amazing for being so busy? God is probably saying, but remember the Sabbath, that commandment that I gave you, that one day of the week that you need to make sure you're resting. Human beings, we need to rest. God created us with a rhythm to rest every day and once a week. And in this particular passage, he was giving his people a wonderful opportunity for them to rest in a way that they hadn't rested for quite some time. In fact, over the 70 years that people were in that his people were in exile in Babylon, he gave them so little instruction. I think, certainly as a young person in my own life, I can think, actually, I feel a bit weird calling myself a young person now that I'm in my 30s, but I'll claim it. We can sometimes think that God has to have a new plan for each day for our lives, or each week, or each year of our lives. There's a new thing that he's doing, a new plan that he's up to, and we have to be on board with this ever-changing situation of, you know, going on to the next thing and the next thing. When you look at the pace of Scripture, and particularly what happened with the Babylonian exile, God's instructions for 70 years, an entire lifetime, were very, very simple, and they really just boiled down to eat, drink, and be married. He wanted his people to continue just to live a simple life that honored him, continuing to practice the tradition that he had given them and following the laws that he had given them. And that was all. He wasn't calling them to do any more. He wasn't calling them to create a new army and to take on the Babylonians or to start an underground resistance or anything like that, which the people of Israel might have wanted to do at the time. He was simply calling them to say, just be there. Because I'm in control, you need to take a breath. I find that can be a particularly, we should be claiming that as a comforting truth in our circumstances now. Now, I know that there are a number of people in our community who have gone back into lockdown. I'm sorry that that's happened. That's really not ideal. And I know that we don't want to be back in lockdown. And I also know there are a number of people who are in our networks and our friends and family who may have been stripped down from their jobs or have reduced in hours because of what's going on with this lockdown. And in those situations, I'll address those a little bit more when we get to the next truth, but while we have so much time and so little to do, there is a wonderful opportunity we have to recalibrate, to breathe, to be still and know that He is God. And I would encourage all of us who are living in whatever level of lockdown that we're in at the moment to take this opportunity to breathe, to take the opportunity of not having much to do, to really recalibrate the priorities that we might have, and certainly get back in touch with God and the rhythms and the pace that He might actually want for your life. Speaking about people who have potentially been hurt quite a lot by the lockdown and the economic downturn, comes us to the next truth, which is that we're all in this together. It says in the passage, to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now that last line is very, very telling, because it's true, it's just as true today as it was back then. When the community that we live in is prospering, we as individuals within that community prosper along with it. Therefore, it should be something that we all take on board very seriously to work to do whatever we can to ensure that the community around us is prospering. For those of us who are able to work from home or to continue going into work, essential workers and stuff, who are able to continue to contribute, then contributing with diligence is a wonderful way that we are part of that. For those who are, for whatever reason, are no longer able to be at work or have been stood down, them getting us to go and support them, offering to help them out if they need any meals or if they need any help with essential supplies, those are sort of things that we as a community can do to make sure that we are all in this together. Because ultimately, if we all prosper, each individual will prosper. And if we leave people behind by not thinking of them, that's going to affect the prosperity of everybody, which in turn means that us individually don't prosper. Now, that's not a reason in and of itself to just go do it because it's going to benefit you later down the track, but it's an important thing to think about when we think about how we together are going to come out of this community, this pandemic. Because speaking of the passage and where it was originally written, the exiles were a remnant. So many friends and family had been killed. So many people had been lost during the conquest that there were a whole bunch of new social networks being formed, new support networks of the remnant of Israel, getting to know people they may have never mixed with before amongst their own people, because that was the only option that they have. That might be something that we only, that might be the only option that we have now, building new social networks. There are probably people out there who didn't know their neighbors until this pandemic started and now have really close and supportive relationship with their neighbors. That's wonderful. Think about the ways that we can all be in this together. On a final note with this particular truth, which is more of the challenge than the comfort, is to think about how, that's actually quite poignant for the point I'm about to make. Think about how our actions can impact the healing and restoration and our movement out of this pandemic eventually. Every decision we make every day can potentially impact all of those around us, our friends, our family, our loved ones, and complete strangers. The community, its recovery and prosperity is tied to the individual actions that each of us take. So as God's chosen people and as God's holy people, I urge you, do the right thing. If you are unwell, please make sure you go and get tested. Please make sure you're keeping your distance from people. If you've been told to self-isolate, please do it. That is something that we as Christians should be setting an example for the rest of our community. It's something that we can do to honor God by doing the right thing and obeying the rules that have been set down by our society and our laws. Please, I urge you all to take that very, very seriously. Thank you. Moving on, because the next truth, this too shall pass. Now, we haven't been given a specific timeline. The Israelites that were exiled into Babylon were given a specific timeline. They were told that they would be there for 70 years before God would come and bring them back to Israel. Now, imagine if I told you that this pandemic was going to last for the next 70 years, that we would need to be in lockdown for the next 70 years. I really, really doubt that's going to happen. If it lasted 70 years, it would probably take out most of the world's population. And that's a whole other, you know, that's science fiction territory that we've got going on there. But we know that this pandemic will not last forever, whether it be through a really effective treatment that comes through or whether it will be from a vaccine. This too shall pass. God has always been a God of restoration and renewal. Whenever bad times have befallen his people, he has always sent prophets to them to remind them that good times would return, that God is a God of restoration who would bring his people back and that he would restore them to their former glory. That is something that our God has been doing since the beginning of Scripture up until now. It's important that we take comfort in knowing that this too shall pass. Rather than getting bogged down in feeling sorry for ourselves or worrying about what's going to happen, we know that we don't need to worry about tomorrow because God is in control. All we need to remember is that there is light at the end of the tunnel. We will be able to gather again. We will be able to embrace and kiss one another again. This will not last forever. And let that be a comfort to us today, just as it was a comfort to God's people who were exiled for 70 years. They were able to cling to that truth because we know that God keeps his promises. Finally, this passage gives reference to a hope and a future. One of the most famous passages in Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Then goes on to say that I will gather you from all the nations and I will bring you back. Now, it's interesting whenever people quote Jeremiah 29, 11, because there's often some debate that can roll around amongst our peers in the Christian community saying, oh, but you're taking it out of context. That verse isn't for you. Well, if someone ever says that to you, this is what I would encourage you to do. Break the verse down into its various components, and you will discover that absolutely everything in that verse is exactly as true today as it was back then. For I know the plans I have for you. Go out and find a random person on the street and wonder, does God know a plan? Does God have a plan for that person's life? Or does he have a plan for that person's life? The reality is God made us all, and he has a purpose for each and every one of us. The fact that he has a purpose for each and every one of us means that he knows what that purpose for each and every one of us is. So the fact that God knows that has a plan for you is true today, just as true as then. So that's that bit. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Throughout all of Scripture, we see that God is a good God that wants to give good gifts to his children. In fact, he explains in the Gospels when Jesus is speaking, it's like, how many people would give their kid a scorpion if they ask for bread? Or I've probably got that verse around the wrong way. But we know that God, who is a good father, wants to give good gifts to his children. His plans for us are to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. Now, we know that to be true, but one of the most wonderful truths about this, because not only do we have hope and a future for specific situations this side of eternity, but we have the hope and the future of an eternal relationship with God, our Creator, because he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin, and he was resurrected to life so that sin and death would no longer have the victory over us. That is the ultimate hope and the ultimate future to which we have to look forward and to which we can tell other people about. So each part of that verse is just as true today as it was back when Jeremiah first wrote it in his letter to the exiles. So whenever someone tells you that you're taking that verse out of context, let them know definitely not, because that verse is true to yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you. So, what is the new normal? We have hope in a future. We know that this too shall pass. We know that God is in control and that he keeps his promises. We know that we've got a season of breathing and that together we're going to get through this and we will end up in a new place sometime in hopefully the not too distant future. It's what people are calling the new normal. But what will the new normal actually look like? Now, when they say new normal, I think people mean the new normal, which will be temporary until the vaccine comes along and we've got the virus completely under control. We don't know how long that will be, though. But after that, there will be a new normal again. What will that new normal actually look like? Will it be a better normal, or will it be a diminished normal? That's a question I'd strongly encourage you to think about through the week. What are some of the things about normal, as in the pre-COVID normal, that you could do without moving forward? What are some of the things that you didn't have pre-COVID normal? Sorry. Excuse me. I do apologize. Don't worry. It's because I'm talking a lot and I haven't had a drink of water, which is why I'm doing that. I'm just clearing my throat. You needn't worry. And everyone is more than 1.5 meters away and there's only like two people here, so it's okay. I'm fine. Sorry. So what is the new normal? The new normal, will it be a better normal or will it be a diminished normal? Well, that is actually up to all of us. Whether we, our better normal could be a better relationship with our neighbours, a better relationship with our with God, a better relationship with Christ, and even a better relationship with our enemies. A diminished normal could be anything else. Who knows? A diminished normal could be where we go back to exactly the way things were if we weren't happy, even if we weren't happy pre-COVID, because that was just, you know, what we're used to. A diminished normal could be if the fear and the, I guess, at the moment being a Victorian, feeling a little bit like you're being beat up on because we're the ones who've got the virus and the rest of Australia is mine. That division that can be in society, will that be part of a diminished normal that happens after? Well, that is up to all of us. As the third truth said, we're all in this together. So what that new normal will look like, I would strongly encourage all of us as Christians to think about how we can make that a better normal, a normal that God would be proud of us for. Not that he's not proud of us. God loves us. He's very proud of his children. But yeah, I would strongly encourage us to think about that through the week. And to help us with that, I've done a bit of an exercise myself where I looked at this letter and then I rewrote it to speak to what's actually going on today. Just want to be very, very clear. This is just a creative exercise that I did. It's not a prophetic revelation in the same way that Jeremiah's is. So it should definitely not be taken with the same weight. But anyway, this is what I would have to say if I was writing this letter today. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Christians everywhere, might say to those affected by the pandemic that I have not held back from the world. Build houses and stay home. Make sure those who can't build their own house have a roof over their head. Eat the produce of your lands and thank your farmers for them by paying them appropriately for their labour. Keep on living, reaching out to one another with technology. Don't delay your plans for marriage or family. Seek the peace and recovery of the cities, towns, and countries in which you live, for if they prosper, you too will prosper. Do not let the conspiracy theorists among you deceive you. This is not me punishing the world or delivering judgment upon a particular demographic. This is not why this has happened. This is what the Lord might want us to hear. When the pandemic is over, I will come to you through the minds of doctors and scientists with a treatment or a vaccine, and I will bring you out of lockdown. I will restore your economies to the way I had always intended you to minister them. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I will bring you out of quarantine, and you will once more be able to kiss and embrace those whom you love and those whom you have grown to love while I kept you in lockdown. You will gather once more in large numbers without fear, and it will be well with you. That's my vision for what a post-COVID world might be, a better normal that we can look forward to. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we have so many questions at the moment about why all of this is happening in our world. But Father, we know from your scripture that you are a good God, that you're in control, that you want good things for us. And we know that we have hope in a future in Jesus, and that this will be over, at some point, and we will be able to gather again and worship you. Lord, until then, we ask you to keep people safe and well, keeping them being diligent and careful with their hygiene and health. And Lord, we ask for you to bring healing and restoration to those who are suffering from COVID-19 all around the world. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thanks for joining us this morning. Now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and to give you his peace now and always. Go into the world and serve the Lord. God bless you.